Wow.
Can you believe it's been 1 week since we were leaving the conference? Crazy, crazy, good times. Momentum Sunday, a day we get to celebrate what God did last weekend at the Momentum Conference. This is not your typical Sunday service here at Grace. So if you're visiting, this isn't what you get every week. But this is the day that we get to celebrate the youth, to celebrate God. For you that don't know me, my name's Rick Myers, and I am one of the pastors here, and one of my responsibilities is that I get to oversee the youth ministry, which is a true joy. So, Momentum, previously known as Youth Advance, is something that we've been hosting as a church since, I believe, the mid-90s. 20 years or so, we've been up at North Bay in Northeast Maryland. And they are such gracious host hospitality, always a fun time at North Bay. Each conference needs a theme, right? So the theme of this year's conference was resilient. So the background for the story, for how I came up with that theme for resilient, is that my daughter attended Word of Life this past year. We took her up in the fall and we had a parent orientation. And we're sitting there and the speaker kept using this word, resilient, resilient. Their goal for the Bible Institute was to make kids, their students, resilient in their faith in Jesus. And I remember looking at Janine and like, I am stealing that. I am taking that. I was inspired. So that word's been stuck in my head since September. So if you look up resilient in the dictionary, you're going to find this. It's an adjective. A person able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. Similar words include strong, tough, quick to recover, and quick to bounce back. So I take this word, talk with Tim Wolf from United Church, who's one of my partners in planning the conference. He loved the word. We were connected with Mount Zion through one of our students who attend both youth groups here at Mount Zion and here at Grace. And they were like, Rick, you need to meet this guy, Andrew Patterson. I invited him to Momentum. He's like, yes. Can I be part of the planning committee? Yes, you can. So Andrew and Mount Zion became part of the Momentum Conference. Now, I believe that this just truly honors God, right? When churches, local churches, come together on mission to help cement our young people in the truth of the gospel, right? Standing together as one church for Jesus. Grace Community, Mount Zion, United Church, Austin O'Donnell brought Gates Church, and then of course we have our brothers and sisters from Sovereign Grace Church up in Joppa. So it's a beautiful thing when we see churches united in the gospel. Now, warning, you're going to be hearing a lot of thank yous this morning because there are so many people that I need to thank to help, that help make this conference possible. So my first one, I'm starting at the top, and I'm really glad that he was our MC today, our host today, I should say, MC at the conference, Mr. Chuck Ament. Now, Chuck is at Momentum, and he just puts his... Look at that, heart and soul. Chuck even got a Momentum card. So, Chuck, you know you made it big when you get your own Momentum card. Thank you for serving us so well. Although I do hear that you might have an apprentice next year, right? Training the next generation, co-host. I don't know if that was just a rumor or if you're trying to get out or what. You're in. Okay, that's great. So these cards, as Chuck mentioned, these are our first edition Momentum trading cards, a product of the mind of Dave Dorsey. So Dave's up on slides today. So I take Dave, just this real simple idea for trading cards, and next thing I know, he brings me like a complete 16-card collectible set, just designed in a way that I could never process. And then just for the icing on the cake, he throws in a 3-card special edition Brendan Beal set, which was a hot item over the weekend. So thank you, Dave. So cool. I mean, the kids had so much fun interacting over the cards. They were trading them. They were challenging one another, arm wrestling. I mean, I got hustled on the foosball table a few times. by little Tim Thornton, who took cards off me. So thank you, Tim. So, but it was fun. It was something that brought people together, and I always appreciate that. And then you have the worship, which we just experienced. So last year we had Patrick Ament, and the year before that, and I loved Patrick, and I loved working with him. Couldn't make it work this year in his schedule, so what would I do without Patrick? So I prayed, and I thought, who's the next man up? Well, it turned out not to be a man, but it was the next woman up, and it was Christy Horner, who also has her own momentum card. And then Christy just did a tremendous job. She brought Reed Troutman in to really... And then one by one, this team just came together, and you saw the finished product today. I remember sitting out there for one of their practices with John Grant, and John just kind of says, you got yourself a really good team there. And I'm like, yep, God is so good to this church, right? Always meeting our needs when we need them. So thank you, Momentum Worship Team. So the sessions themselves all built around this theme of resilience. You know, we start Friday with kind of a foundational message. I invited Luke Casagrande. Now, you got to love that new name, Luke Casagrande, which big house, right? He's pastor of Rise City Church. So he came to lay our foundational gospel message. You know, keeping the gospel at our core is what is going to ultimately make us resilient in life. Right, our key verse for the weekend was 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So what makes you immovable? Right? It's having your house built on the right foundation. The foundation of your house must be strong in order for the house to stand. Building your life on any other foundation besides the gospel, it's going to crumble. A resilient life equals a foundation in the gospel. So stand firm on what you know to be true. Be confident in what you know to be the truth. Be resilient in the truth of Jesus. So during this Friday night session, one of our students started to have a light bulb go off, and I wanted her to share with us this morning. So I am going to bring up Ashley Myers. Oh. So I told you that I would have the microphone here and on for you. So I am 0 for 2. So you're set now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Hi.
Oh. Hi.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. Okay. So this past weekend was... Sorry, I'm very anxious. Okay, this past weekend was a bit different for me because I'm usually expecting a bit of a reset from Momentum, and I didn't really get that this year, but that's not a bad thing because I took that as a step in my faith because I was able to be there for other people, and I also felt that it meant that God has worked so much in me this previous year that I did not need this one weekend for a drastic change in myself and in my faith. This weekend, I was able to hear about so many other testimonies than ever before. It drew me closer to people I knew and to people I've never met. The amount of resemblance I felt towards people and their stories was abundantly more than ever before, and it made me feel more secure in my own story and especially with thoughts I've had about myself. I've struggled with many negative thoughts about myself in the past couple of months, some contributing to my knowledge in Christ and the Bible and making me doubt my role as a Christian. It also led me to be more quiet when talking in cross-current Bible studies or even just deep conversations with friends. On Friday night, Luke Casagrande, or Big House, said to stand firm in what you know. And that quote was something that really hit me right away, and it's stayed with me ever since. And that topic only got greater as the weekend went on and other pastors spoke. I felt like it was a peace that God washed over me to know that my knowledge does not define who I am as a Christian and how much God loves me. But seriously, you could quiz me on like the most basic questions of the Bible and I would get the lowest grade. And don't think I'm not going to try and still learn these wonderful stories. If anything, I'm more encouraged to try and learn and remember them so that I can have even more reasons for loving God. I will always still continue to have my struggles and thoughts about myself, but because of momentum, I was reminded and comforted by God once again and was able to see him working in me and how he has worked in other people. And I'm so grateful for momentum that always has its way of showing me something new about God, and I am able to start seeing myself work as an ambassador for him. And I want to end with 1 Peter 5:9. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ashley. That was great. Thank you. Thank you for having the courage to share with us this morning. So Luke really laid that foundational gospel message for us in night one. So after that first night, after the message, you know, we had just many students during our worship time just come down, leave their seats, and come down to the front and just to do business with God. We saw God meeting students and parents and leaders just in very personal ways. You know, lots of prayers, confession, and celebration. You know, it was an amazing sight to see. Friday night, you know, night one, you could already see God just moving in many of these students' hearts. So after that time, you know, we were able to enjoy a quick panel discussion with Luke. Since he was the new guy on the block, I wanted to give the students a chance to get to know him a little bit, so they were able to text questions in with my help with buddies James and Logan there, ran a quick panel. Luke was a really neat guy, and I could see him being a partner in this conference moving forward. So then after the panel, the students were free to enjoy all that North Bay offers, one of which is the giant swing. I think we had a few videos of that, but at night it's pretty cool. Takes you up, just drops you over the water. Here's a quick picture of that. It's a pretty neat experience. So Friday night, Saturday morning, you wake up, you have breakfast. You have community groups where you can kind of sit and process the previous night with your classmates. Tim Wolf took us through session two, really continuing the theme. Yeah, Tim got his own card too. Although he had a bushier beard this year, that'll be in Momentum Edition number two. He'll get a new card next year. But Tim, continuing the theme of standing strong, standing firm, standing resilient in your witness for Jesus. So he walked us through 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20. So reminding the students that they are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we carry a message, and it's a message of reconciliation. God, who through Jesus, right, who through Christ reconciled us to himself, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have a calling, right, as an ambassador for Christ. We are a representative. When people see you, they should see you as Jesus's representative. You know, so much like Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens, right? All those TV commercials. So what company has Justin Tucker's face become associated with? Royal Farms, right? Justin Tucker is the face of Royal Farm. So when people see us, our face should remind people of Jesus. Jason Horner has a pretty cool story of what happened to him this week, so I want him to come on up and share.
It's on? All right. So this was after the conference. So what I was taking mostly from the conference was the stuff about how to share with people and how our time on earth is so short compared to the rest of eternity. So we should be trying to help everyone else learn more about God and turn to God. So I decided on Wednesday when I went to school, we have our Jesus Club where we meet, we read the word, we talk about it, and then we pray and go out. So I was like, I'm going to wear the shirt. I'm going to be able to hopefully talk about momentum, be able to talk to people about this. And then Rachel brought up, whenever we were praying, hey, we should pray that we get opportunities to share the gospel to people, share it to new people, and be able to invite them to things like Jesus Club and church, and hopefully momentum next year. We'll see how that goes. And we prayed about that. And then throughout the day, I had 8 new people come up to me and ask me about the shirt, and I got to share to them about the gospel, to be able to invite them to church, invite them to Jesus Club, and I sent a couple of them the link to this. And it was really cool because none of them had ever asked me about anything Jesus-related ever, so I was like, we have new people. We're reaching new people with this. This is amazing.
Thank you, Jason. So representatives, right? And we carry an unpopular message in this current culture. Thank you, Jason, for taking the plunge, wearing that shirt, and get what you prayed for, right? Tell people about Jesus. So Tim also walked us through some basic like evangelism tools that would help us, you know, as we talk to people about Jesus. Now this was a stage illustration. Tucker, believe it or not, is playing Jesus here. James is just the unrepentant sinner, and Tim is the bridge, right? So we're the bridge. We're the bridge that the Spirit can use to bring people to Christ. Tim actually had to rebuke Tucker there on stage because Jesus was seeming a little too needy there. So, but we had fun. So the point was that you are an ambassador, you're a bridge that could be used to bring people to Jesus. So that was session 2. So after lunch, we decided to try something new this year. We had some breakout sessions. So we separated the students and parents. So the students sat in the main auditorium with Jerry Gaffney, who's an elder at the United Church, and he taught the kids practically how to read their Bibles, learning like important things like how to get background info, understand context, you know, because it's really important to know what goes before and what goes after a particular passage. So Jerry really taught important skills to have as you engage with your Bible, really building on what we're trying to do here on Cross Current on Thursday nights. And then the parents were treated to a time with Todd Gaddy to learn about how to be resilient as a parent. So there are many things. Now, Todd might have the best card, you know, so his is SOAR, right? And I love the bottom. It says broadcast, radio voice of RBS, scratched out, Shine FM, scratched out, Bright FM. So beautiful card there for Todd. But Todd walked the parents through just really don't give up as a parent, teaching them to find resilience in the gospel as a parent. This was really an encouraging time for parents as Todd gave them vision, I think, just for their role as a parent and how to be resilient in that role. So then after our breakout sessions, we had free time where the students could enjoy all the North Bay activities. It was really cold, windy, and rainy, but all the activities stayed open. You know, we had zip line, ropes course, rock wall, giant swing, you know, and the rain, I think, made the time all the more memorable, or at least that's what I tell people anyway. You know, my wife, Janine, runs a craft room for the students to enjoy. Krista had a great idea for a hot chocolate bar. Students engaging with one another over the trading card game, you know, trading cards, trying to be the first to complete a set to win prizes. So even though it was rainy, I do believe we made the best of it. Then after dinner time, it was Saturday night prime time. So session 3, right? So session 3 opens with extended game time, and this is a great time to give prop to my game guy, Joey Zorn. Joey, I don't know if he's here today, but he teamed up with David Gaffney, and they gave us some fun games. I really need to give him his props. You did make science fun, by the way, so thank you. So after the fun and games, it was time to worship, and then have our evening message by Todd Gaddy. Now, here's the thing with Todd every time he speaks at a youth conference. I feel like we learn a little more about your middle school and high school love life. So we're piecing all this together. So this year was about Leah, right? And we learned a lot about Leah this year. You know, I loved hearing you tell the story, but I really enjoyed watching Brenda's reactions to all these. You know, and she's just kind of shakes her head and laughs at you. So shaking it off. Oh, the broken road that led you to Brenda, Todd. So every year we get one more piece of the puzzle. So Todd's message, session 3, how to remain resilient in the midst of adversity. So the text that he used was Philippians 4, 1-14. I thought he gave us 3 really, really good points out of this text. Number 1, when you are going through stuff and have a ton of questions, stand on what you know. Because I don't think there's one person in this room that doesn't have a question that they would like to have an answer to. You know, there's so many maybes in our lives. There are things that we go through that are just hard and difficult to process, to understand. But Todd really exhorted us that in these times, it's important to stand on what you know rather than festering in all the maybes of life. So all the unanswered questions of life, you know, stand on that God is good. He has a plan for you. He cares for you. He's sovereign. He knows every detail of your life and has ordained it from the foundation of the world, you know. He never gives you more than you can handle. Truths like that, you know, he's faithful, and he is, most importantly, committed to making you more like Jesus, because your citizenship is ultimately in heaven. So adversity can also start to make you question about his love for you, but the exhortation is to stand firm and be resilient in what you do know. So I think now would be a great time to call Anna DeStefano up to share with us. To Anna.
Thank you. Okay, good morning. This is what the Lord showed me over the weekend. So recently, for the past few months, I've been really struggling with a few things, and I've had a lot of conflict with family and a few of my friendships. There were so many things changing recently, and that had a big effect on my mental health. And I worried what my friends thought of me because I would try to talk to them about some things that bothered me, and I always tried to avoid arguments as much as possible. And I feared if I stood up to them, they would flip it around, and then I would become a bad guy. And I feared so much if I should continue to be a part of their lives or if I was even worth anything to them anymore. And I worried and wondered if I was even loved by them anymore. I doubted that my feelings weren't that important to be telling anyone at all because it's not that heavy. And I kept everything inside and played it off like nothing happened or was happening. And I would pray and ask God to help me get through this because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. But even then, sometimes it didn't feel like God did anything. Things just kept getting heavier for me. And I would wonder why God didn't give me the strength and courage to tell me how I felt right then and there, and why did he let me feel this way about silly things, why I was so unloved and I felt useless and unwanted. I started to feel distant from God because I was being so consumed by everything, and I prayed and I asked God to reveal himself to me in a new way. And I prayed that something would happen, that he would show himself to me sometime over the weekend, that I would have a shift in my heart and let it all go because I really didn't want to deal with that anymore. Then Saturday night happened, and Pastor Todd's message and then extended worship. The message he gave was so powerful and related not just to me but so many others in that room. And I could feel the Holy Spirit moving through the room when he called people down to the stage. I went up and I knelt down and I just sat there. God knew what was going through my heart, and all that I knew that night was that whatever happened during the week of school, whatever happened on the car ride there, it was all getting handed to God no matter what it was. As the worship kept playing, I could hear Mr. Chuck come down in front of me and some others, and he started praying. And I could feel my heart begin to soften, and I could feel the weight being lifted off my shoulders, and I just started sobbing. And when he got up and went to go pray with others, I stood up in worship. This person who was next to me, who I never met before, gives me the biggest hug. I didn't even know if this person was a guy or a girl since my eyes were closed. Found out she was a girl, but she gave me a peck on my head and I melted into her arms. I was so shocked when she did this because she didn't know me either, but the love from God that she had and showed me was so eye-opening that she would do this to someone that she didn't know. And I'm so beyond grateful she did, because it was as if she knew exactly what I needed in that moment. She hugged me so tight like she didn't want to let me go, because it felt like she knew that I needed it badly. I felt safe and I felt wanted and I felt loved. I knew right then and there that that was God's love being revealed through this girl and through Mr. Chuck. A little later into worship, someone else came over and sat with me and my best friend, and she prayed with us too. I could just feel everything gone from my shoulders, and my heart was so open to God's presence. I never realized how much I've been bottling up until that moment. And so through all of the things the devil put in my head, and I believed it, God revealed truth and opened my blind eyes. He softened my heart to let in truth. And although I still have many questions, even now, I know that it's okay to have them. It's okay to be angry, and it's okay to be scared, and it's okay to be confused. That wonderful girl from before, Carly, she said on Sunday, and I related crazy amount, but while everything is shifting and changing, and it can hurt, God has never changed once through everything. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anna. So, you know, when uncertainty creeps into our minds, it's important to stand on what we know. Because the reality is that adversity will come into our lives. Todd's second point, I really appreciated this, that adversity is going to come. Drama doesn't have to. When you read Philippians 4, you read about two ladies in the Philippian church, Euodia and Syntyche, who had, as Todd puts it, gotten sideways with one another. There was a conflict with these ladies, and it was affecting the whole church. We all can get sideways. We can all have conflicts with one another at all different times. But it's important to settle these things quickly, not only for the sake of our own soul, but also for the whole church. You see, these conflicts not only affect us, but they affect the church. Todd's encouragement was to be a peacemaker. Seek peace as far as it depends on you. Don't let our church be divided by personal conflicts. Don't allow drama to affect the whole. Adversity will come, but drama doesn't have to. Resilient people stand firm in what they know, and they avoid drama. Third point, when tough stuff comes, the ability to not freak out, but instead be calm, comes from our connection with Jesus. So Paul in Philippians 4 talks about how he has learned contentment in whatever season of life he is in. He can be content. He says, whatever situation I'm in, I can be content. I have learned to be content. He knows how to be brought high, knows how to be brought low. He knows how to abound and how to be in need. He has contentment in all seasons because he stands on what he knows to be true. Paul in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, right? What does this mean, right? Look at this next slide and it'll tell you exactly what it means, right? What does he mean when he says, I can do all things? Does it mean like, look at me, I'm Superman, right? I can do anything? I mean, you got to look at the previous verses and it will tell you exactly what it means. It means I can be brought low and still have the Lord next to me. I can abound and not forget the Lord. Hunger, need, abundance, I can be content with the Lord. Paul knows that the circumstances of life change, but keeping your foundation built on Jesus can help you keep that peace that surpasses all understanding. So I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can face any season of life with the strength that he supplies, and I can be resilient in whatever state I'm in. Even though I don't have all the answers, even though I don't have all the questions answered, I can stand strong and be content with what I do know. We all have the things in our lives that can shake our contentment. Now, Todd from the stage was very open about his 8-year struggle with MS, right? And it was just a powerful image. He was just holding his pill box, right? And he's just saying, every day I take these pills and I just wonder, why, Lord? Why, Lord? The Lord used that mightily, because we all have those questions that we ask. Why? We all have those things in our lives. Yet we can face these seasons through him who strengthens us, right? And then right after that verse, you have verse 14 that just seems to be like this throwaway line, but yet very important. Philippians 4:14 says, yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. We share, right, as a family, each other's troubles. We reach up to God, the source of our strength in whatever season we're in, but yet we also reach out to one another and to share one another's troubles. We can help each other be resilient. Todd's big idea, making it through the tough stuff of life, involves reaching up to God and over to friends. Now this just led us into a dynamic ministry time. Extended worship. You have students, parents, sharing words, sharing scripture. Now, one of the people that shared that day was our one and only Becky Fox. I don't know if Becky's here today. But, you know, I love this picture right here because we all know that Becky's just kind of like the administrative engine that really makes this conference go. But I think this picture here shows how invested with the students she's there. She's not just there as an administrative help. She's there to encourage students, right? Opening night, she wants the microphone because she has a word to share with the students. So I appreciate that about Becky. Becky is invested when she's at the conference, right? And every year she says she's going to retire, but every year she doesn't. So she is in it. So there's Becky's card. So it's kind of return a card to its owner's hands. Her famous line, I don't have registration information for you yet. So that's what Becky is known for. So you have students, leaders, parents sharing scripture, sharing words. It's one of those moments that you just want to take in and live in forever. And I think this would be a great time to bring Carly up to share about her experience during the ministry time.
Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Carly Emerson. I'm 15 years old, and I'm in 10th grade at Redeemer. That's just down the road from here. Being 15 is really fun, but as I'm sure a lot of you know, a lot of times it can be a really difficult time in a young person's life. In the last year or so, one of the things that I've been struggling with is fear. Fear of the things that are changing all around me. I feel like everywhere I turn, people are changing. They're moving away, they're graduating, they're growing up, and they're moving on. My friends and I used to talk about movies and TV, funny things we heard in class, and who had the best doodle on our English notes. Now we talk about college, when we want to move out, what we want our careers to be, seeing if we have enough money for gas, let alone a college tuition. I feel like everyone is in a rush to leave, and sometimes I ask God, Lord, could you just freeze time for a while? I'm scared of the change. I'm scared that nothing will be the same again. I'm scared nothing will be good again. This past weekend at Momentum, I was thinking of not even going. I was so stressed out that week, I thought the last thing I wanted to do was sleep in an unfamiliar bed and eat unfamiliar food. So I came down Saturday, and that night, the worship just seized me with that very familiar feeling, an uncontrollable urge to just lift my hands and praise the Lord with all my heart. All at once, I remembered the years prior that I had spent at Momentum, making new friends, coming to new revelations about God. And this year, maybe more than ever, I needed to know what I was taught Saturday night, which is this. Responsibilities may be growing, expectations may be mounting and people may be changing, and that can seem like the scariest thing in the world. But one thing absolutely never changes: God. My Father in heaven will never move away. My Father in heaven will never lose touch, and my Father in heaven will always love me the same. And I can walk into the rest of my life never having to fear change, because I built my life on God, who never changes.
Thank you so much, Carly. Wow. Well, well, well. So Saturday night, you know, the party went strong into the night, and you know what Saturday was? It was time change weekend, right? So Sunday morning rolls around, students a little sluggish. It's 8 a.m. I think we have like 10 kids in the cafeteria ready to eat. You know, people slowly trickled in, but I was like, oh boy, like this is bad this year. But soon it filled up. And we had one session to go, right? So we go into the auditorium, we get some games, we get some worship, people start to wake up. Andrew Patterson closed us out with a message focused on the importance of community in keeping you resilient. You know, he really picked up right where Todd left off. Surround ourselves with like-minded people who can help us grow in the Lord. And he used that very familiar passage in Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know, we are shared to call one another's troubles. It's a means of God's grace to be able to meet together and help each other grow. You know, Cross Current on Thursdays, I hope, is a place that this happens. You know, and then for you at Grace, we have small groups, community groups. You know, we have Grief Share, places for you to be cared for. So if you're not in a group, I encourage you to get in a group. With other believers, stir one another up, right? They can help you to be resilient in the turbulence of life. You know, you can find out more about our groups at the Welcome Center. Worship team, you can start to come back up. Now, one more thing before the worship team closes us out. We have something cool at Momentum. We have something called Act Now. So it's an opportunity for the students to give to a cause, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So last weekend, we set out to raise $1,200 for Kenneth Sandy in Malawi, Africa. You see, Kenneth's community has just been hit hard with some incredibly difficult times. You know, floods, food shortages, all kinds of stuff, homes in need of repair. So we set out to raise $1,200 for Kenneth Sandy. You know, Kenneth has problems that we just can't get our heads around here in modern day USA. So we asked the students to step up and give towards this goal. And guess what? We didn't raise $1,200. We raised $1,748. You know, and as a church, we're going to have more opportunities in the upcoming weeks to give to this mission. But it was incredible to see the students' generosity for Kenneth, right? So let me close by saying thank you, right? First, students and parents, thank you so much for making the investment last weekend to be there in the busyness of life. It's also a financial investment for a weekend to get centered on Jesus. Church family, thank you so much for making this financially possible for us. Many of you donated scholarships to help students attend. We have some big families here that need help, you know, to get all their students there, although we will never turn anyone away for money reasons. Many of you donated scholarships, so we thank you for that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Please keep praying for our students. And let me close by praying for us and for the students and for Cross Current. Lord, I'm so grateful for all the planning, all the people that went in to Momentum 2024, and you showed up in big ways, met us in personal ways, Lord. Thank you for just equipping the saints of ministry Such a joy to see at Momentum everyone operating in their gifts, coming together on mission for our youth, Lord. Lord, I pray for this generation that they stay strong, for we're in the midst of an upside-down culture. Pray for all of us for strength, for us to be true to our calling and to be a light in this present world. Amen.